So this is a great passage. It reminds us of the ongoing work of the gospel in the days following Jesus' death and resurrection, and the revelation of that resurrection that we have been talking about these past 2 weeks. First, talking about Thomas and his absence when Jesus revealed himself to the apostles gathered in fear. And then last week when Jesus reminded us that he will be with us whenever we gather together to break bread and invite strangers into our homes, as he was with the apostles on the Emmaus road. And so here again, we are reminded of the miracles that happen when we gather together to discuss these things, to remember these things, to celebrate these things, like in the breaking of the bread. And this is going to be a different kind of sermon because I wanted to tell you about my experiences like this week. As some of you may know, this church, Anchor United Church of Christ, is part of the TIM Transition into Ministry Iowa program. Part of that is the purpose of the Transition into Ministry program, which is a program funded by the Eli Lilly Foundation and instantiated in sites all across this country, is to give ministers in their first 2 years of parish service insight into and access to the ways that other people are faring in their own first 2 years in ministry, and to put them in mentorship with others. This was initially done in sites that were large churches, and it was initially done with sites having two or three resident pastors. And so in Plymouth, UCC, in Des Moines, there are two resident pastors who serve for 2 years at a time, receive mentorship from the senior leadership at Plymouth, and do various things to further their ministry. Well, one of our parishioners, Rich Pleva, saw that in Minnesota they had gotten clever and said, you know what, there aren't that many huge churches, and so maybe there are some first call pastors out there serving on their own in isolation that could also benefit from mentorship and from the kind of structure that these residents are getting. In the case of Plymouth, a course in pastoral care that's done at the Des Moines Pastoral Care Counseling Center. And so they expanded it to two at a time parishes in Iowa. And one of them is this one. And so I am the TIM Fellow for Ankeny UCC. And so I meet with the senior minister at Plymouth Church regularly. I meet with some of the other TIM Iowa fellows regularly, including the two residents at Plymouth and the pastor in Sioux City. Well, one of the things that this program does do is to bring together once a year all of the TIM participants from across the country for a week in Indianapolis. And so on Monday morning at 4:30, I left to board a plane to Indianapolis, Indiana, not knowing exactly what I was going to get, having read a book that was written by a pastor of 31 years who had grown multiple churches to thousands of members and then had figured out that he was no longer called to the ministry. And so a number of people who read this book said, boy, this is a funny book to give to a bunch of pastors just starting out. One of the lines in the book was this minister talking with his life coach, who said, "What kind of God do you serve that calls you to this misery?" And so we did not know either what we were going to get when we got there. Well, what we got was a collection that you can see on the front of your bulletin of pastors, some of whom were finally in the position that they had been waiting their entire lives for. I heard many people who described their call to ministry that came at age 14 or 15. This was the preordained path for them when they went away to college. Then they went directly to seminary, and now they maybe are in their first or second year of parish life and are saying, "What have I gotten myself into?" And I heard the pain that people felt at not being sure that, in fact, what they had thought was a call from God was the thing they were called to do. I also heard the joy that people felt serving in these congregations, being with people who were in pain, being with people who were celebrating, feeling the love for the first time ever the unique love and hurt of parish ministry. And for some of them who had just completed the program, the particular joy that comes with going from a multi-staff, wealthy, 4,000-person church to ministering in rural Washington to 60 people who had never had a discussion that you had every week in that place. What I found were talks over fires at restaurants late at night or at the hotel bar. Yes, there was a bar at the hotel. Over fires and things about the theological struggles people had had and finding deep discussions about what we are called to do and what is the joy of spreading the gospel in our different places, whether in far northern Minnesota, whether in Des Moines, whether in Boston or in Manhattan. One person I spoke with was about to plant a new Presbyterian church in Harlem. And so among all these people with all of these different views, we struggled with the book, we struggled with the idea of call, but most importantly, we came to understand that the reason they gave us this book at the beginning of a career in ministry that describes the end of a career in ministry is the central revelation of that book, which is this, that if you live the way you think other people ought you to live, ought to have you live, you will never be satisfied. You will never find the gospel that you are to spread. If you live according to the judging and the expectations of a society that does not know what you are about, you will never succeed. You will never find peace. You will never find joy, and you will never be passionate. But if you sit with God in prayer and ask and inquire of the Lord what it is at my core that I believe, what it is that I believe I am put here to do on earth. If you ask that question, if you sit knowing the answer may be uncomfortable, but if you find those sentences that are the core of your being, and if you have been paying attention to the sermons, you know that in mine it is, we are loved children of God, and our story does not begin in our life and does not end in our life. You know those are my core beliefs. They may not be yours, that's okay. Because there were many core beliefs I heard in Indianapolis from many different people, but they all understood that the pains they were having in different settings was that their expectations based on their core belief was not matching the lives they were now living for whatever reason. In some cases, it was because their supervisors wanted them to do strange things. In some cases, it was because they did not know how to live with hope and challenge in their communities because they were pressured by the environments they were in not to be true to the gospel on their hearts. So as we worked together to find these core beliefs, we realized that the central observation of the book was true, that we need to find our passions and how they are connected to our core beliefs. If these are not things we are willing to spend time on, our passions, they are not really our passions. You know, I am passionate about preaching the word of God and the gospel that we are all loved. You know that. I work at that. And there are many other things I am passionate about. And it was wonderful to hear all the things other people were passionate about in worship forms I had not seen in a long time. And in worship forms that can only come about when you are joined by Lutherans and Methodists and Baptists who can spontaneously break out into four-part harmony. And Garrison Keillor jokes about it, but there we were without a hymnal or piece of sheet music in sight, and there it was, the four-part harmony all around me, reminding me of the beauty of God in all its forms. And I thank them for their passion that they could learn all of that music that way, that they experienced God in that way, and that they brought it to those of us who, if you have ever listened to a tape of this service, you know do not have that gift. I'm talking about me here, not you. because I'm right next to the microphone. And I thought, what a gift it was that we did this the week before we gathered together as Ankeny UCC to find out what we believe at our core as a body. And to know that we each need to bring what we believe here individually together and put it in conversation with one another so that we can say in a sentence, this is what we believe here. And you know it is our core belief because it informs the things that we do and it shows us the things that we are passionate about as we in Ankeny UCC live our lives as a church with passion and with joy and with the intensity that can only come from being one with God. Join us on Wednesday night. Join us in 2 weeks. If you can't be here on Wednesday nights, join us in worship these next 3 weeks where you'll have the time to talk with us, all of us in this body. Join us together. Come together that we may find what we believe, that we may listen to the voices of one another and listen for the still small voice of God in the silence as we figure out who we are and where we are going as a church together. Let us find the way that we may live passionately in this world, spurred on by this great God who loves us. Let us do it together as a body of Christ, working miracles and inspiring everyone who sees us. Amen.